able to join you today. And I wish to thank, of course, the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights for organizing this consultation. We know that globally, in all contexts, share the same need for a paradigm shift in mental health and how we understand it, diagnose it, and respond to it. And although what that shift looks like in practice is still a matter of much of the debate around the world, and in my tenure as the current Special Rapporteur on the Right to Health, I have undertaken to build on the established policy approach of the mandate on mental health in all its forms as a particular human rights issue. And it's important because mental health is intersectional in its component to the right to health, given the history on the one hand of criminalization and wrongful detention, for example, of those with mental challenges, issues around informed consent, institutionalization, as well as delays in establishing therapeutic relationships in society or in communities. And so we cannot separate the issue of mental health and wellness and well-being from human rights. So the starting point of many people around the world is already unequal, and that inequality affects their access to also underlying determinants of health that are important for health and wellness as well, such as information, education, access to water, clean environment, and housing. And we know that with the emerging and compounding effects of the climate crisis, many of these environmental disasters as well have a particular impact on individuals' health outcomes, but also mental health. We know that mental health outcomes are not just a matter of individual genetics or predisposition. And so the response to it cannot just be an issue of just mere willpower, but it is also about oppressive systems and established racial hierarchies, which enable enduring social discrimination that pushes particular people with particular identities to the margins of society. And so what we know now is that even beyond the formal colonial structures, this perpetuation of health inequalities continues because global health in its architecture has not dealt with the structural nature of how discrimination was embedded in some of its programming and designing of programs. Therefore, in order to reform mental health, we must embrace a human rights approach, an approach that demands that we are not only just aware of these existing inequalities and differences, for example, between low and middle income countries or within particular regions in one country, but we also have to pay attention to the multiple localities that people find themselves in, and that those multiple localities and different characteristics also have a particular impact on their rights and their ability to have their human rights realized. If you are someone who is in an irregular migratory status or undocumented, if you are a child, you are elderly, you are a drug user, you are a sex worker, you may be incarcerated, LGBTQ plus persons, those kinds of localities shape how the system responds to people. And so one of the important elements of the right to health is that to operationalize it through a human rights approach, we have to make sure that health is accessible, available, affordable, and of quality. And noting these inequalities, therefore, and how they affect that framework, we must build solutions for improving underlying determinants of health. We must ensure that we train healthcare workers across the board who will be coming into contact with patients in health and human rights so that they understand that they are not just treating and diagnosing symptoms, but they need to achieve holistic health for their patients and how in their practice of medicine every single day, as clinicians, they can protect and promote human rights. It is important that we also talk about the use of law in practice and sometimes in how autonomy is limited for people with mental health. And so we must also, as we think about a human rights paradigm shift, ensure equality in rights, recognition, but also the integrity and dignity of people with mental health issues are respected as well. And we often see how the law or behavior is then used as a measure of whether someone is a good patient or a bad patient, and therefore they may end up being in conflict with the law, starting another vicious cycle where medicine and law collide. And so reforming mental health system requires placing the rights holders right at the center, at the forefront, so that we understand from them what it is that they need in terms of a dignified approach, a compassionate approach. We need to be monitoring and evaluating systems and services and strengthening research and disaggregated data that will then inform us where to put resources, where to streamline funding, and what to upscale. And peer-to-peer support continues to be extremely important in terms of a human rights-based model and must be integrated into policy. So the alternative are many. There are many member states who are doing great work, who have good practices to show how we can move from the alternative, very traditional Western medicine approach to mental health to more holistic, people-centered and community-centered approaches that take into account the cosmos vision of people as well, the subjective nature of life, but specifically the subjective nature of mental health is very important. Why people think they have a mental health issue, or why they think they are going through a particular experience, and the needs and the desires they have for themselves, for their own future, it's very important to be understood so that we don't over-rely, for example, on medicalization and medicines as well. Although critically important, we must be advocating for essential medicines to be available in the right quantities, the right formulation for all populations, including children who are often, left out of accessing essential medicines for mental health. And so, in closing, I would like, to reiterate my availability to continue to provide support to any of the member states, any of the delegates and non-governmental organizations, and how we can move forward to ensure a compassionate, inclusive human rights approaches to mental health, taking into account the intersectional vulnerabilities as well. But how do we better provide programs to give us outcomes that are more equitable, that promote respect and dignity for people, that truly leaving no one behind will mean that we must reach those who are furthest behind first. And so with mental health and wellness, we have an opportunity to truly be intersectional, to truly be holistic, to truly take into the subjective nature of medicine and understand what people have as a vision for themselves, and to create systems that are enabling for their respect and dignity and equality, to ensure that the right of everyone to the highest attainable standard of physical and mental health is truly achieved. Thank you so much.